Dhanvas to all the devotees.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvas Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, recording has started.
Oh, okay, Mataji. Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 1st chapter, 39, 40 and 41 verses. To give brief introduction of Prabhuji, I'll hand over the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji. Prabhuji, please hand over the call, Prabhu.
Praveen Govind Prabhu. Yeah, he is there, Mataji, but that's okay if he is not taking.
Can I make a request if it's okay?
Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking maybe in the interest of time, we will get started because there are three verses with very long purports.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvas Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Saha Gana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrushabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Thank you everyone for kindly joining in. I want to offer my prostrated obeisances to the organizers of this call. Thank you, Shyama Gauri Mataji, for very affectionately inviting me and having me over for this service. To all the wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis on the call who have joined to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my prostrated obeisances. Please kindly offer your heartfelt best wishes, prayers, and blessings so that may the right words come at the right time in the right mood of service towards Srimad Bhagavatam. May this give pleasure and satisfaction to our ears. And as servants of Sri Hari, may our consciousness be cleansed by hearing, reading, and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Ashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Vishtaki. So the section that we are reading today has three verses, 39, 40 and 41. Just to quickly mention, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1. This is text 39, 40 and 41. So what I will do is I will read the verse, translation and purport straight for all three verses, and then we will get into the discussion. Tasyaha va ete shlokaha priyavrata kritam karma konu kuryad vineshwaram yonemi nimnair akaro chayam bnam saptavaridhin. Translation. There are many famous verses regarding Maharaj Priyavrata's activities. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. No one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do what Maharaj Priyavrata has done. Maharaj Priyavrata dissipated the darkness of night, and with the rims of his great chariot, he excavated seven oceans. There are many excellent verses famous all over the world concerning the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. He is so celebrated that his activities are compared to those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes a sincere servant and devotee of the Lord is also called Narayan. This is the take-home point from this purport. This is to be noted. If we are having pencil in our hand with a Srimad Bhagavatam, please make a note of that. And if we are taking notes on our notebook and pen, please mark this section. This is the take-home from this section, from this purport. Sometimes a sincere servant and devotee of the Lord is also called Bhagavan. Sri Narada is called Bhagavan. Lord Shiva and Vyasadeva are also sometimes called Bhagavan. This designation Bhagavan is sometimes conferred upon a pure devotee by the grace of the Lord, so that he will be very highly esteemed. Maharaj Priyavrata was such a devotee. 40. Bhusamsthanam kritam yena sarit giri vanadibihi simacha bhuta nirvrittaihi dvipe dvipe vibhagashah. Translation. To stop the quarreling among different people, Maharaj Priyavrata marked boundaries at rivers and at the edge of mountains and forests so that no one would trespass upon another's property. Purport. The example set by Maharaj Priyavrata in marking off different states is still followed. As indicated here, different classes of men are destined to live in different areas, and therefore the boundaries of various tracts of land, which are described here as islands, should be defined by different rivers, forests, and hills. This is also mentioned in relation to Maharaj Prithu, who was born from the dead body of his father by the manipulation of great sages. Maharaj Prithu's father was very sinful, and therefore black person or man called Nishad was first born from his dead body. The Naishada race was given a place in the forest because by nature they are thieves and rogues. As animals are given places in various forests and hills, men who are like animals are also destined to live there. One cannot be promoted to civilized life unless one comes to Krishna consciousness. For by nature, one is destined to live in a particular situation according to one's karma and association with the modes of nature. If men want to live in harmony and peace, they must take to Krishna consciousness, for they cannot achieve the highest standard while being absorbed in bodily concept of life. This is the take home from this purport. If men want to live in harmony and peace, they must take to Krishna consciousness, for they cannot achieve the highest standard while being absorbed in bodily concept of life. This is actually from every purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, at least one line can be taken out for real life application. It's like standout. And we can quote it far and wide in all of our discussions that Prabhupada says in this section that if we want to live in harmony and peace, and how many times we speak about happiness, we speak about peace, we speak about harmony. So they must take up to Krishna consciousness, because otherwise it's not possible. Maharaj Priyavrata divided the surface of the globe into various islands or different islands so that each class of men would live peacefully and not clash with the others. The modern idea of nationhood has gradually developed from the divisions made by Maharaj Priyavrata. Now 41, the last for this chapter and today's discussion. Bhaumam divyam manusham cha mahitvam karma yogajam yaschakre nirayopamyam purushanujana priyaha. Translation. As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Now, Prabhupada's purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. That's the take home again. This is the standout for this purport. Rupa Goswami has said that the position of devotee is so super excellent, or one must become, one's consciousness must become so super excellent and advanced that one does not consider any material opulence worth having. That means wealth, that means respect, that means home, that means relations, that means gadgets, objects, position, whatever it may be. Everything and all of them put together too doesn't have any desire, because he's actually tasting something very high. There are different types of opulences on earth, in the heavenly planets, and even in the lower planetary system known as Patal. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material and Consequently, he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Sometimes yogis and jnanis voluntarily give up all material opulences to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have superior taste in spiritual life. Then he can give up material opulence. That's another take home. Very beautiful. Like Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when he gives his purports, jewels, nectar, jewels are literally dripping on the way. So look at this. One must, how emphatically the Acharya is speaking, one must have a superior taste in spiritual life, then he can give up material opulence. So when we say anarthas are troubling me, anger, lust, greed, pride, all of these things are troubling me, or my interests in material activities, material relationships, material, the material field of activity, I am so absorbed in these things, what do I do? So Prabhupada is giving one solution for all of these problems, and that is one must have superior taste in spiritual life. One must taste something. One must taste something. Chanting Hare Krishna must become like eating rasgulla. It must be like sweet. Worshipping the deities will be with so much affection. Even cooking for Krishna will be so blissful. Generally, cooking in the kitchen may not be very highly appreciated by the devotees. But if it is done for Krishna, then it becomes great yoga. Otherwise, it is great tapasya. The feeling that I want to feed my deities. Radha Krishna, Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Jagannath. They have come all the way from the spiritual world into my home only to taste my services. So why not I put my heart and feed them so nicely? I want to dress them. I want to bathe them. I want to wake them up. I want to bathe them. I want to wipe them. I want to massage them. I want to dress them. I want to ornament them. Then offer them the best form of sandalwood pulp. Offer them the best form of tulsi leaves. Best form of flowers. Offer them nice incense, fragrance. After that, give them fruits, giving them milk. And in the afternoon, and something else. And then the afternoon, something else. Then evening, something else. And in the middle, singing for them, reading something for them, circumambulating them. So life revolving around the deities. Sripad Mukunda Datta Prabhu from Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada's dear disciple. He is like that. He has his dear Gopal deity. And his whole day revolves around his Gopal. Even when he goes for a home program, he wants to come home early because he says 9 o'clock is Gopal's sleeping time. So program must end quickly. And we must come home on time because I have to put Gopal to sleep. And he has to eat some sweet. He has to drink some hot milk and then go to sleep. So if the program gets late in the evening, then I will get late coming home and then Gopal will have to wait. Why? He's a little boy. Why should he should go to sleep on time. Why should he wait? Why should I inconvenience him? So this is his mood. This is his mood. Also once accidentally, when Sripad Mukunda Datta Prabhu was in one home, his clothes were given to be ironed to the devotees. So the devotee, he washed the clothes and ironed the clothes and he got it. And he kept it on the bed. And Sripad Mukunda Datta Prabhu said, oh, what did you do? You kept it on the bed. I must be in fresh clothes while waking up my Gopal. I must be clean. Now you have put all the clothes on the bed where we sleep. So the devotee said, now, so what am I supposed to do? He said, ideally, we should wash everything. But since it's a stack that you put on the top, all the clothes are fine. But the cloth on the bottom, which is touching the bed, that you can wash and you can iron and give. So everything revolving around Sri Vigraha. Even at nighttime, one devotee was doing kirtan. So then Sripad Mukunda Datta Prabhu came out from his room and he said, oh, you're doing kirtan, but my Gopal is already asleep. He will wake up with your kirtan. He will wake up with your kirtan. And then the devotee stopped the kirtan. And next day, Sripad Mukundatta Prabhu said, he said that, I think you should do kirtan because last night Gopal really liked your kirtan. Now, how Prabhuji got to know as reciprocation from Gopal, that is a very confidential thing. But he said Gopal really liked your singing. So therefore, till the time I'm here in that specific city, every night you should sing for Gopal. And then they were doing a performance for Gopal at night to put him to sleep. So what I was, why I went there is I was reminded because Srila Prabhupada is saying, one must have a superior taste in spiritual life. Then he can give up material opulence. You see the depth of this one line? Very deep. And Srila Prabhupada has said, I have poured in my transcendental realizations and ecstasies in these purports. Which means somebody who has given everything, his thought, word and deed at the lotus feet of Sri Hari, is speaking. He's speaking out of experience. He's speaking what are the things we should be careful about, what are the things to avoid and what are the things to accept to get to the point of having affection for Krishna. So therefore, this is the take home. I'll just complete the purport. It's just last, I think, one line to go. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher or middle planetary systems. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport to the fifth canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. So very beautiful. So in this section, we see the three sections that we have marked, 39, 40 and 41. We see that there is a specific connection that has been established of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata has been described in this, his activities have been described. And text 39 talks about his connection with the Supreme Lord. Text 40 talks about his connection with other living beings. And text 41 talks about his connection with this world. So Shukadev Goswami has spoken this very wonderfully in three consecutive verses. 39, 40 and 41, concluding this chapter, they talk about Maharaj Priyavrata's connection with God, Maharaj in 39, Maharaj Priyavrata's connection with other living beings, 40, and Maharaj Priyavrata's connection with objects of this world. So 40 talks about living beings of this world, 41 talks about objects of this world, the matter of this world. So 39 talks about connection with Krishna, 40 talks about connection with the spirit souls in this world, and 41 talks about connection with material objects in this world. So that is the connection between these three verses. So very quickly, we'll go 39 and then 40, and then we'll wrap it up with 41. So the take home we mentioned for 39 is that a sincere servant of the Supreme Lord can be addressed as Bhagavan. We know the word Bhagavan means God. Just like someone has dhana, he's called dhanavan. Someone who has vidya is called vidwan. Vit in Sanskrit means knowledge, just like Veda. So Van means he who possesses. So if someone has knowledge, Vit, then he's Vitvan. Someone who has Dhana, he's Dhanavan. Someone who has Bhagya or fortune, he is Bhagyavan. Similarly, someone who has Bhaga, Bhaga means opulences. Someone who is very strong, very intelligent, very beautiful, all attractive. Someone who is very rich, very profound, yet very renounced in this world. Aishwarya, Aishwarya, Virya, Yasha, Jnana, etc. All of these six opulences that are described by Parashara Rishi. Anyone who possesses them, those bhaga, those opulences, van means to possess, that person is called Bhagavan. So Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashriya, Jnana, Vairagyam. These are the six things. So someone who is very beautiful, someone who is very wealthy, someone who is very strong, someone who is very famous, someone who is very knowledgeable, and someone who is very renounced. And to the highest degree, unparalleled. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, na tat samascha adhikascha drishyate, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate, swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. The Shastras describe that Bhagavan is he who is unparalleled in the six opulences. But a pure Vaishnav who has got Bhagavan and wrapped him up in his heart, bound him with the ropes of affection, that pure Vaishnava also can be called as Bhagavan. He can also be called as Bhagavan. Like, for example, if there is a jar container, if there is a jar container, a transparent jar, and it is filled with water, and if someone asks, what is this? You will immediately say, oh, that is water there. So we will, yes, jar, but the most important thing is it is filled with water. So if the water is not there in the jar, then it is just a jar. But if water is there, and if someone asks, oh, what is this? He'll say, pani hai, water. Do you want some? Right? So we even negate the position of the jar and we see what it's filled up with. So similarly, the pure Vaishnavas are like jars. And the water in there as a container is Sri Hari. So if they're filled with Sri Hari inside out, in their heart, on their tongue, in their activities, then they can also be called as Bhagavan, because they are filled with those opulences. They are as intelligent as the Supreme Lord. They are as powerful as the Supreme Lord. They are very wealthy. Why they're wealthy? Because prema dhana bina vyartha daridra jivan. The true wealth is love of Godhead. The wealth that even God is aspiring for, Krishna is also aspiring for love. He is aspiring for prem. This is why he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, a true devotee is very wealthy because he is holding prem in his heart. And why is he very, how is he very strong? Because Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitar Pravartan. Kali Yuga Dharma Ara Naam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahitar Pravartan. So a pure Vaishnava is very strong because he is empowered by Krishna. The electric current of Krishna's empowerment is going through a pure Vaishnava. This is why people get attracted to pure Vaishnavas. The pure Vaishnava is not doing tightrope walking. He is not doing gymnastics. He is not teaching Kung Fu. Why is he attractive? Because he puts up his hand and he says, I don't need any gun or kung fu or any of these things to protect me. Krishna will protect me. That dependence on Krishna is the inner strength that the whole world lacks. They may have big homes, castle-like homes, and then they arm the house, and then they will have security, and then inside they will have guns, and then they will have exit points and this and that. But pure Vaishnav, he will live in a small ashram or a small kutia, small hut, and he will put his hand up. Whatever happens, Krishna will take care. So this shakti, which the whole world lacks, that pure Vaishnavas have, of depending on Sri Hari, and at the same time being completely empowered by Sri Hari. So they are very powerful. Very powerful. They are very wealthy because they are having the wealth that the whole world is lacking. People may have currency, but they don't have the power to bind God with ropes of affection, which Mother Yashoda has. Trayacha Upanishad Bhicha Sankhya Yogaischa Sattvatehi Upagiyamana Mahatmyam Hari Samanyatatmajam. Nanda hakim akarod brahman shreya eva mahodayam yashodacha mahabhaga papoyasya sthanam hari chinnanti goram yamapasha bandham. Our Bilba Mangal Thakur has said, Krishna, you're able to cut the yamapash. You're able to cut the ropes that Yamaraj ties the living entity to. But you can't cut the rope in which you yourself are bound. That's the rope of affection. So because pure Vaishnavas, they bind Krishna in their heart. Tumara hridaye sada govinda vishram. Gangara parasha hoile paschate pavan. Darshane pavitra karo ei tumar gun. Hari sthane aparade tara hari nam. Tuma sthane aparade nahi paritran. That when Hari is offended, Hari nam will protect. But when pure Vaishnavas are offended, nobody can protect. Even Harinam will not protect. Bathing in the Ganga will purify after a long time. But when pure Vaishnavas glance and they give instruction and we execute that instruction, immediately we are uplifted. Pure Vaishnavas are such that in their heart, Krishna can very peacefully sleep. Why Krishna can peacefully sleep in the heart of pure Vaishnavas? Because they don't ask Krishna anything. They don't bother Krishna with any material desires. Give me this, give me that. You know, when someone is sleeping, he doesn't like to be woken up. So conditioned souls, they like to wake up the Supreme Lord. Give me this. Hari, give me this. Hari, give me that. Oh, Radharani, give me this. Are we their servants or are they our servants? So pure Vaishnavas, they don't ask anything. Marubi rakhobi jo ichha tuhar nitya dasa pratituva adhikar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, my Lord, you protect me, you protect me. You want to kill me, you kill me. I am yours, my Lord. I sell myself as a slave at your lotus feet. You can do whatever you want. I am yours and you are mine. He says, Ami to tomar, tumi to amar. I belong to you, you belong to me. This is our sweet relationship. You can do anything with me. I am yours, my Lord. I am not going to revolt. I am not going to ask for reasons and justification. So because pure Vaishnavas are filled with love in their heart, because they have this love in their heart, they are the wealthiest. So they have Shakti, they have wealth, and they have a lot of beauty. You can see when a conditioned soul dies, look at his body. Oh, within few seconds, few minutes, it is finished. It looks, somebody who's enjoyed his senses all his life, you can see, even before he dies, his body has become completely withered away. But pure Vaishnavas who are controlling their senses and doing bhajan all their life, chanting the holy name and serving Vaishnavas, you can see as they age, they look more and more beautiful. They look more and more effulgent. Their eyes are glistening with joy. And even after they leave, their body, you can see their body is so effulgent. They look so attractive. They live with a smile because they have seen Krishna in the form of Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. Krishna has appeared as death and embraced them. So they smile looking at Krishna and they leave their body. So they are very attractive. These cosmetics don't keep one attractive. Just by putting some talcum powder and throwing in some moisturizing cream, one doesn't become very attractive. That's just a layer outside. But when the consciousness is cleansed, the light of the soul starts coming out. And that is true beauty. If we really want to be beautiful, we have to just clean our consciousness. The light of the soul will come out. Now at this point, what is happening? Our electric bulb is covered with carbon black. Electric bulb, which is lit, is covered with carbon black paper repeatedly. So what is happening? The inner light of the bulb is not coming out. And then over that carbon black, if you make some designs, how beautiful is that? It's not very beautiful. But instead, just take the carbon black covering out. And then you will see that the light of the electric bulb will start coming out. So similarly, true beauty is the beauty of the soul. Body may be attractive, may not be attractive. White hair may come in, teeth will be lost, hair will be lost, arthritis will come in, we will have lower back problem, we need a walking stick. We may have so many things. We may have tremors in our hands as we age. These things will come. And the more we aspire for material beauty, these things will depress us the more. The more in the youth we have enjoyed them, as we age, we'll think, what happened? I'm not able to hold this properly. I can't face the world with white hair. So let me do this. Let me do that. But till when will we decorate ourselves? In fact, people even pay money in this world for their final makeup. That after I die, my body should be decorated like this. Because when people are coming, I should have, there are people who even aspire for having this and that. And my eyelashes should be like this. My hair should be done like this. You can pre-book the makeup artist. Things like this. This is really one end of the spectrum. But the other end of the spectrum is to control the senses to such an extent and to chant and be absorbed to such an extent that the light of the soul is coming out. And because Krishna is living in the heart and he lights up wherever he goes, the living being becomes very attractive. Very, very attractive. We can see all our Gurujan. They don't use any cosmetics, but they look so attractive because it is the purity of their bhajan. So why pure Vaishnavas are called Bhagavan? Because of these reasons. They are very wealthy because of prem. They are very attractive because of their bhakti. They are very powerful because of the empowerment. They are very intelligent. They are very, very super intelligent. Jai Krishna bhaje se bada chatur. Those who do bhajan, they are the most intelligent. How do we understand this? How do we understand that the sincere servants of Sri Hari are the most intelligent people in this world? Well, if someone starts a profitable business and the input is, let's say, 50 rupees, I'm just giving just a number, you know, he starts up with 50 rupees. And let's say the outcome, the profit outcome is 5 rupees. So you will say that person is not doing well. Let's say he puts in 5,000 rupees and gets 2 rupees profit. You think he's very intelligent? Not very intelligent. On the other hand, imagine someone who puts 2 rupees as an input and gets 1 crore as an output. What do you think of that person? Imagine someone who invests 2 rupees and gets 2 crore out as profit. What do you think of that person? Very intelligent, right? Super intelligent. He's somehow very pakka businessman. He knows what he's doing. So why we are giving this example is because materialistic mindset is such that I will collect more and more material objects. But we have to understand, at death, all of this has to be left behind. So with your body, you're spending 50 years, 60 years of your body working to make the money that you're going to leave behind. So that's not a very intelligent proposal. But on the other hand, we see that the pure Vaishnavas, what do? They use this body, which is temporary, to attain Krishna, who is permanent. They use this body, which is filled with suffering, to attain Krishna, who is filled with happiness. They use this body, which is dull and dead matter, to attain a spiritual form, which is completely vibrant in consciousness. So this is like using a 2 rupee temporary material body to get a 50 million profit of Radha and Krishna. They are more worthy than 50 million. I'm just saying some numbers so that we can understand. Imagine there is someone who's collecting natural spring water coming in the environment. He's collecting natural spring water and he's drinking. But there's another one who's collecting that spring water and thinking, why not I package it and start selling it like 20 rupees a bottle? The spring water is anyway naturally available. Why not I bear in some profit out of it? So materialistic people are those who are coming to the spring water of this material human form and only thinking of drinking it, using it, enjoying it. But pure Vaishnavas, what do? They take the spring water, naturally available spring water of this material human form, and they try to make profit with that by trying to achieve the unlimited with the limited, the source of happiness with the source of suffering, the eternal truth with the temporary reality. So therefore, the input is temporary, the output is permanent. So why not, if by giving 50 years of this human life in performing Krishna consciousness, if one is going to get eternal life, this person is really intelligent. He is most intelligent. Other people may have PhD and they may be like having a lot of accolades and awards and recognitions and patents. They may have research papers. They may have certifications. But what ultimately are they gaining? When death strikes, everything is finished. But so for that person, when death strikes, all that he has collected is gone. He has to start all over again. But the devotee is so intelligent that he has been collecting for the future, that which cannot be destroyed. So when death strikes, he transitions naturally to things that he has already collected. Imagine there is a story, a quick story of a king. In a certain tradition, the king used to be appointed. And when the king becomes 50 years old, he used to be dropped in the forest. Out of family, out of kingdom, he has to just live there as a monk or an ascetic. And if wild animals attack and kill him, then he dies like that. But he has to find his own food and no connection, no society, nothing. So there was a certain tradition in a certain king, royal line. So one certain king, when he got appointed, what he would do is he would send his minister every day into the forest. One minister a day, every day for 1 hour. He did that from the start of his reign, his rule. And then when he turned 50, he was dropped into the forest And he was very happy because he had already built a house in the forest by then. He built a house in the forest so that when he goes into the forest, he doesn't have to worry. He built a house in the forest bigger than his kingdom. So for 30 years from the age of 20 to the age of 50, he invested little time in the forest so that when the transition takes place, he's in a better place than the place where he is. Other kings, they suffered because they enjoyed the present property and they didn't invest in the future. But this king, he spent little time every day and invested time in the forest so that when the transition takes place, he is blissful. So this is the difference between a materialist and a devotee. A devotee could be called Bhagavan because he's so intelligent that instead of enjoying the kingdom now and when death strikes suffering into the forest of uncertainty, the devotee, what he does is, while being a king in this material body, he invests time every single day for his future residence. So that when the transition takes place at the time of death, his future destination is way more beautiful than the present. So this is why we also say a pure Vaishnava is Vidwan. He's very intelligent. So all the opulences of Krishna are there in pure Vaishnavas. They are very strong. They are rich. They are very beautiful. They are very intelligent. And very famous. You can see that pure Vaishnavas, they don't make attempt to come out in public. They don't make attempt to come out in public. But Krishna will somehow drive the living entities to their lotus feet. In Sanskrit, there is an ukti. There is a subhashita. There is a saying that fame or stuti is always a kanya. She is always a young girl. She never gets married. Fame or stuti never gets married. Why? Because someone who wants to marry her, the materialist want fame. So he who wants to marry her, she does not want to marry him. And those pure Vaishnavas whom she wants to marry, she wants to come to, they don't want to marry her. Which means they don't want fame. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitamba, jagadisha kamaye. So they're saying stuti is always a kanya. She's always a young girl. Because those who want to marry her, those who want to run behind fame, she runs away from them. And those to whom she runs to, I want to give you fame, they run away from her. But Krishna makes inconceivable plans to give fame to pure Vaishnavas. Why? Because they are living a life of a candle. They are melting down day by day by day, giving light to others. So Krishna keeps such people on top of his head. And naturally, because Krishna is all famous, people look at what's on top of the all famous Lord. That is the pure Vaishnava. You see, pure Vaishnavas, because they give their heart to Krishna, everyone likes them. Everyone. Everyone likes them. Even the non-believers, they will also go and they will say, Swamiji, thodi kripa kare. Which means even the non-devotee knows that this person has power to do kripa. Where is that fame coming from? It is coming because of his connection to Sri Hari. Coming because of his connection to Sri Hari. Imagine if someone takes some tap water. If you take some tap water, can you do Achman with that? Like, is that water worth doing Achman? The water that is coming from the tap, is that so pure that we will do Achman? No. But you take that little water from the tap and now mix it into the Yamuna. What happens to the water? It becomes Yamuna. Now you can do Achman. So when ordinary water is mixed with transcendental water, it becomes transcendental. So similarly, pure selfless servants of Sri Hari, they are not like ordinary tap water like people in this world. Because of their mixing with the Yamuna water of Krishna's all famous personality, they also become like Yamuna. They also become all famous. Krishna gives them fame. Krishna gives them fame. Pure Vaishnavas, they are like... There is another Sanskrit ukti, Subhashita, very beautiful. That pure Vaishnavas are like flowers in the forest. Why they are like flowers in the forest? They hide. But their fragrance is so much that people come in to have their association. And so much more, they even take it and decorate their hair or they keep it on top of their head, on their ear. And the flower is in the forest. But it is so fragrant. It doesn't say, come and take me, pluck me, keep me on your ear or on top of your head or, arrange your hair with it. the flowers are not saying that. But they are so attractive and they are hiding in the forest that the fragrance of those flowers attract people and they come and pick it up and then they use it. So pure Vaishnavas are like that. They are very famous because of their connection to Krishna. So they are like flowers sitting in seclusion, but the fragrance of their devotion is such that people travel long distance to come and seek their association. Like Sripada Indra Prabhu, he sat in one square tile in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. That same tile, that same place every single day, that same pillar in front of Krishna Balaram. And he was just sitting and chanting all his life. But his chanting was so pure, so devotional, that people started flying in from Russia and other places just to have darshan of Indra Prabhu and to do kirtan with him. This is so amazing. Those who are absorbed in spreading the fame of the Lord shares his fame with them. This is the gift the Supreme Lord gives. We can find even in the life of Sripad Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri's fame spread because of the Kira Choru Gopinath story. Madhavendra Puri thought, oh, everyone is getting to know about me. I may as well run to Jagannath Puri so that people don't know me there. But Krishna, Gopinath's plan was more inconceivable. Madhavendra Puri was trying to run away from fame, but Madhavendra Puri's fame reached Jagannath Puri before Madhavendra Puri reached. So when he reached Jagannath Puri, people started saying, oh, are you that same Madhavendra Puri? And Madhavendra Puri said, oh no, Krishna. So this is how pure Vaishnavas are also famous. And what is the sixth opulence? Renunciation. After beauty, after intelligence, after wealth, after strength, after knowledge or fame, and now is renunciation, virakti. Pure Vaishnavas are very renounced. They are completely detached. And because they are having all of these six opulences, you see that one line of Prabhupada's purport is so deep. We can sit and discuss that for one class. That the sincere servants of the Lord can also be called as Bhagavan because of their attachment. This is why we say Bhagavan Narada, Bhagavan Vyas. One senior Vaishnav, very senior, high class, Mahabhagavat. Gaudiya Vaishnav. he has a non-Indian body. So when he moved to Vrindavan, there one Brajbasi sadhu, in fact, one Brajbasi sadhu who's he's like an avadut. Basically, what that means is he's like transcendental. So externally may seem even like mad sometimes because they're walking and singing and like completely unaware of what's happening. So that avadut sadhu, he saw this devotee. When this devotee moved to Vrindavan about 35 years ago. So I'm talking about two devotees. One is an avadut, Brajbasi, and the other is a non-Indian background Gaudiya Vaishnav who moved to Vrindavan about 35 years ago. So when he first moved in, this avadut saw him and he gave him a look, you know, like, where is this? Like, let me see how many days you survive in Vrindavan. Like you may get attracted to women or you may fall for money. And you may get distracted. Let me see how many days you're here. Now this Vaishnav celebrated about 35 years in Vrindavan, sincerely serving the deities and serving the holy name, very, very advanced Mahabhagavat Vaishnav. So that same Avadut, after 30 years saw him and came to him and said that when I saw you 30 years ago, I was thinking, let me see how many days and how many weeks he survives. But you have survived 35 years, I believe, in Vrindavan with the same mood, with more and more effulgence in your form. You have chanted the holy name to such an extent. And then that avadut, he offered his obeisances and said, Bhagavan. And he left. Which means this Vaishnav, because he's a sincere devotee, that Brajbasi avadut, he called him Bhagavan. So anybody from any background, if they are sincere servants of Sri Hari with consistency for a long time, then we can see that the purity of the Lord's personality reflects in the heart of the devotee. So that's the take home for 39. That's the connection of Maharaj Priyavrata with God. That is, he's as good as him, because sincere servants are like that. Now in text 40, his connection with other living beings in this world are given. It mentions that he would divide tracts of land equally and nicely so that people don't quarrel. He is to give people their own spot, you know, to the right of the river, to the left of the river, behind the hill. So depending on natural scenic beauty, he would divide the circumstance so that people don't fight over property. Now, this is worth discussing. This is really worth discussing. Actually, dividing things amidst people, and this is yours, you don't get into this, you don't be a trespasser, you be here, you don't encroach into his property. This kind of mentality is not Vaishnav. Actually, if you see, this kind of mentality is not a Vaishnav mentality, right? That this belongs only to you, you don't get into his property, that's his property. This is your property, this is his property, you don't encroach into his property. This kind of division is generally not considered to be Vaishnav. Because how is a Vaishnav? Ayam nijaparo veti gananam laghujetasam udara charitanam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. How is a pure Vaishnav? Ayam nijaha paroveti. That this is mine and that is yours. This kind of mentality, gananam, this kind of counting, laghujetasam, is the symptom of someone who's very narrow-minded. Chetasam means mentality and laghu means small. So someone who's very narrow-minded is the one who thinks, hey, this belongs to me or that belongs to you. I will not touch yours. You don't touch mine. You don't come to my home. I don't come to your home. And things like that. This is my space. That's your space. This is narrow-minded thinking. But pure Vaishnavas, how do they think? Udara charitanam tu vasudha eva kutumbakam. Vasudha means earth. Eva kutumbakam. The whole world, earth is one family. For whom? Udara charitanam. For those who are broad-minded, the whole earth is one family. The whole earth is one home. Why? Because the narrow mentality and the broad-minded mentality are different as follows. The narrow-minded mentality thinks, yes, this is mine. This is my family. Because we are biologically related through bloodline, through seminal line, bloodline, etc. This is my family. But that is not my family because it's not, the same blood is not running. So this is narrow-minded mentality. But broad-minded mentality, oh, I belong to Krishna. She belongs to Krishna. They also belong to Krishna. Whole earth belongs to Krishna, which means Krishna is the father. We are all children and the whole earth is the home. So whether you take this or I take that, you take the fruit here, I take that fruit, doesn't matter. Everybody has authority over everything because we are the children of God. This is broad-minded mentality. And this is glorified in the Shastra. Narrow-minded mentality is not glorified in the Shastra. Like, for example, Kaliya. He took over Krishna's property, that is the Yamuna. And then he was hissing and puffing when Krishna entered. Which means it's like I take your home by force. And when you come to your own home where I am living, then I don't open the door. This is unacceptable. So Kaliya is considered to be a demon because of this mentality, because of this territorial consciousness. How dare he jump into my water? I will do whatever I want. I can pollute the water. I can kill the trees. I can whatever. It's my home. What I do in my home is none of your business, Krishna. And then Krishna is coming just to swim because that Yamuna belongs to his Vrindavan. And then here Kaliya is already agitated. So this territorial consciousness is considered to be demoniac. Example number one. Example number two, in the Bhagavad Gita, we see Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. The first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra is speaking to Sanjaya. And what does he say? My sons and the sons of Pandu. After assembling on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what did they do? Now, this Mamaka and Pandavas Chaiva is very interesting. Who is a Kaurav? Not just the sons of Dhritarashtra are Kauravas. Even the sons of Pandu are Kauravas. How? Because both of them, Pandu and Dhritarashtra, they are brothers. And Pandavas are sons of Pandu and Kauravas are sons of Dhritarashtra. But in their family line, a few generations before, there was a king by the name Kuru. So all the descendants of that king Kuru are called Kaurav. So in that way, even the sons of Pandu are Kauravas. Even the sons of Dhritarashtra are Kauravas. All are Kauravas because they are all descendants of the same king Kuru. But Dhritarashtra is not accepting this. He is not seeing this. Mamaka Pandavaschaiva. Instead of saying all the Kurus after assembling, what did they do? He says, no, no. My sons and the sons of Pandu. So this is considered to be not good. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in that purport that Dhritarashtra was not just materially blind, he was even spiritually blind. It is one thing to be materially blind and it is one thing to be spiritually blind. The bulb of spiritual intelligence is fused because he is not able to see that all of them are Kauravas, Kurus. He's seeing, these are my sons, those are Pandavas. So this kind of territorial bifurcation or lineal familial bifurcation is not considered to be first class. So Kaliya is having territorial consciousness and Dhritarashtra is having Dhritarashtra. Dhrita means to hold and Rashtra means kingdom. He who's so attached to his kingdom, he will not give it to the Pandavas. So he's Dhritarashtra. Even if I am blind, I will hold over my Rajya. I will not give it to anybody else. So Dhritarashtra, Kaliya, they're all having territorial consciousness. So they're not very appreciated in Shastra. But here it is very interesting. After establishing all this, we read Priyavrat Maharaj was dividing territory. Why? To stop people from quarreling. This is a very important thing. That Priyavrat Maharaj would have desired to tell all of them, remove all these boundaries. Everything belongs to Sri Hari. Isha Vasim Idam Sarvam Yat Kinchit Jagatyam Jagat. The Ishopanishad describes that the whole world belongs to Sri Hari. Hum sab Hari ke hain, aap bhi Hari ke ban jayen. To bas sab kuch to Hari Hari hai. Hara Vara Hari Hari. Everything is filled with Sri Hari. So you belong to Hari, I belong to Hari, we all belong to Hari, the place belongs to Hari, so why not live together? Priyavrat Maharaj would have said this, right? Because that is Shastric injunction. But in his heart he understood these people will not understand Shastra. They will not understand and they will unnecessarily quarrel. Therefore, the lesson to be learned here is a pure Vaishnava's mercy on others is such that he wants to do good to everyone. He wants to stop them from quarreling. As Prahlad Maharaj says, Swasti astu vishvasya khalaha prasidatam. Let there be auspiciousness in the whole world and may all wicked people be pacified. Swasti astu vishvasya khalaha prasidatam. May the whole world be peaceful. May all the wicked people be pacified. Prahlad Maharaj is thinking. So that is what Priyavrat Maharaj also wants. That is what every pure Vaishnava wants. He wants to stop the kalaha. He wants to stop the quarrel in the lives of people. And for that, sometimes he will have to say things which will not be the first thing in Shastra because that person will not understand. He will not understand. Like Narad Muni, for example. In the fourth canto, Narad Muni speaks an allegorical story to Maharaj Prachina Barihi. And he gives the story of Puranjan and Puranjani. He makes a fictitious story up. It's not a truth. There is no Puranjan, there is no Puranjani. Narad Muni is just making up, cooking up a story and saying there was a Puranjan, there is a Puranjani, and he makes up a whole story. And then later Prachina Barihi realizes, oh, wait a minute, that Puranjan is me. So Narad Muni, instead of telling Prachina Barihi, you should do this, you should not do this, because Prachina Barihi wouldn't have understood. Narad Muni made up a fictitious story depicting Prachina Barihi's life and said, see, this is what will happen to Puranjan. So then Prachina Barihi understood, oh, wait a minute, that Puranjan is me. That is me. So sometimes the Acharya, what he will do is, he will have to say according to the receptibility of the disciple. Like somebody could say, well, how can Narad Muni lie? If there is no Puranjan, there is no Puranjani, why cook up a story? pure Vaishnavas are not supposed to speak lies. Why cannot Narad Muni just speak the truth? Why cook up a story? Well, because he understood that Prachina Bhari will not understand. What is more important? Narad Muni speaking the truth and Prachina Bhari not understanding, Narad Muni taking a U-turn or an exit so that Prachina Bhari understands? Narad Muni prefers the second. So similarly, we have to, as propagators of Krishna consciousness, we have to think, what is the best way by which this person, on the basis of his consciousness, will connect to Krishna? He may not be, not everybody will be ready at all times to accept the highest uncompromising truth. It must be spoken. The truth must be spoken. But the point is how you present it. Satyam bruyat, speak the truth, but priyam bruyat. Speak it in a palatable way that they can relate to. Like, for example, if there is someone who's an atheist, right? He's an atheist, but is very interested in classical music, Indian classical music, just as an example. If you go there and if you speak straight from Shastra and you say, Sahasra Shirisha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapath, he may or may not take it. But if you go to him and you speak about classical music, and you bring him to the point of appreciation that this music is so divine. Human beings cannot have created this. It is coming from a plane beyond human intervention. Who is creating? Sarigama padhanisa. These notes, who is creating? Which human being sat and struck stones together to bring these sound out? And then what to speak of the combination of these notes? What to speak of these ragas? What to speak of the emotions that are associated with these notes? Some are saddening, some are in pathos, some are happy and jubilant, some are in separation. All of these moods that are created. So if you connect with him on the level of his consciousness and try to bring him to the point of God realization and appreciation, oh, then there is high chance that he will accept. So Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada would always connect with the person from the point of view of that person. So Maharaj Priyavrata here, he could have very easily said that, well, everything belongs to Krishna. Stop bifurcating and stop dividing. Just live in peace. But their consciousness was not like that. So to stop them from quarreling so that they have some internal peace to practice bhakti, he was ready to bifurcate and bring in some territorial divisions so that they will not encroach into each other's property and they will have space and respect for each other. And without any quarrel, they can practice bhakti. So that is the take home from the 40th verse. So from 39, the connection a pure Vaishnava has with Krishna is he's as good as Bhagavan. And the connection he in 40 he has with other living beings, that is on the basis of intelligence. He connects with them on the basis of the consciousness they are at. Like, for example, if there is a drug addict sleeping on the sidewalk on the street, someone who's completely drugged or he's intoxicated with alcohol, and he is spitting venom in the form of bad words and foul language on the sidewalk. If you go and speak to him about Ras Panchadhyay, he is not going to understand. You speak to him about Radha Tattva, he will not understand. Braja, Vrindavan, he will not understand. So you have to try to connect to him from his level. You have to sit and talk to him what his background is. Why he got into alcohol? Did he lose his wife prematurely? Is it because he became bankrupt and he went into debt? What made him into that? And it's possible that his heart may open. He may feel that, yes, I know this is wrong, but I don't know how to get out of it. So then you slowly give him a positive solution and then you take him out. So in this way, preaching is with intelligence, with supreme intelligence, which means there's one thing to know it and there's one thing to share it. It is one thing to connect with others. The same stroke will not work for every person. So different strokes for different folks. Somebody may come from, art and craft background. Let's say he's very artistic. So then when you connect with him and you speak to him about the art of the sunset, you see the wonderful orangish, reddish lit sky, sunrise or sunset, and speak about how wonderful this is. Just speak to him about how difficult do you think would it be to paint this The person will say, oh, it's going to be very difficult. Then you say, but it's also moving. The clouds are also moving. When we paint, it won't move. And at the same time, you see, it's changing with time. What we paint is going to stay there today also, tomorrow also. But this sets and comes back to that same position in 24 hours or 12 hours, sunrise and sunset. So when you like try to kindle that spark of thought from where they are to Krishna or God, then that may not be like the direct approach, but that's definitely an effective approach. Prabhupada was a very holistic, compassionate preacher. Very intelligent, very thoughtful. When we hear about these memories, we hear about the pastimes, always considerate to where the person comes from, his background. Prabhupada is always seeing the philosophy from the person whom he's speaking to. If someone is coming from, let's say, an Islamic background, you can see Prabhupada glorify, oh yes. Then the person is saying about Allah, Prabhupada says, oh yes, and speaks. Allah means Allahu Akbar, which means the all great almighty Lord. So this person's heart is opening up. Oh, really? Like, you know and you appreciate? You don't cut me off immediately? And Prabhupada, that is Prabhupada's mood of encompassing with affection. So Priyavrat Maharaj, here we understand, instead of teaching them, yes, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, yes, I will teach you that, but first I have to teach you to respect each other. You be in your space, you be in your space, and don't quarrel with each other. Have peace of mind and perform bhakti. So that is 40. Now the last verse for today is Maharaj Priyavrata's connection with objects of this world. Text 41 talks about how, without a second thought, Maharaj Priyavrata would be unaffected or reject material opulence. He would be unaffected by material opulence. And this is the quality of a great soul, virakti. He has renunciation in his life. A pure Vaishnav cannot be called a pure Vaishnav if he is absorbed in, meat eating and intoxication and gambling and flirting and dating and intermingling with the opposite sex. Where is the purity coming from then? When you say someone is a pure Vaishnava, where is the purity coming from if the regulative principles are broken? Bhagavatam says, dyutam panam, all of these things, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. Yatra adharma chaturvidha. These chaturvidha, these four bifurcations or divisions are adharma chaturvidha. They are the symptoms or the residence place of irreligion. So if we are completely intertwined with irreligion, then how are we saintly? So we can see that pure Vaishnavas, they are detached. Now, this is a very interesting concept of detachment. I want to give two examples to illustrate this point. Then it will be very clear for us. This was Prabhupada's style too. Srila Prabhupada, whenever he made a philosophical point, he would always support that with a real life example so that we understand. Shastra, important thing is to understand so that we can absorb those principles. And for that, sometimes examples really work wonders. So I will share two examples which will make this point of renunciation clear. First example, you can think of a mango. You can think of a mango, unripe mango on the branch of a tree. Unripe mango. It is a green mango. Now it's on the branch of a tree. If you forcefully pull it out, if you pluck that unripe mango, you think automatically it is going to become yellow and ripe? That will not happen. It will remain as it is. But if you let it stay there, what happens? When it gets yellow, when it gets ripe, when the weight of the fruit increases, automatically it falls from that branch. It will fall down. It will get detached from that branch. So the point of understanding is we are all like mangoes. And at this point, we are unripe mangoes. So if we think of detachment, if we pull ourselves forcibly out of family life, I want to be detached from my wife. I want to be detached from my home. I want to be detached from my children. If we focus our attention on that, thinking that if I run away from my home, I will make spiritual advancement, we are unripe mangoes at this point. So if we forcibly pull ourselves from the branch that we are coming from, we will not get ripe. But what we should do is, like mangoes, we should stay where we are and ripen in Krishna consciousness. And when we ripen in Krishna consciousness and the green mango becomes yellow mango, the juice increases to the juice of spiritual life increases to such an extent that that weight will, without pulling, automatically there will be detachment from that branch. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayityasu Vairagyam Jnanam Yachya Ahaitukam. Bhagavatam says, don't run behind virakti. Run behind asakti. Run behind attachment to Krishna. Don't run behind detachment from this world. Bhagavatam is advising. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. If one is running towards Sri Hari with asakti, then automatically there will be virakti from this world. Like, for example, if you want to run to the east, there is detachment from the west. If you run towards the west, there is detachment from the east. So if you run towards Krishna, automatically you're running away in detachment from this world. But if you focus on detachment, if you focus on plucking the mango unripe, it is not going to get ripened. But if you focus on giving it time so that the green becomes the yellow, ripened mango, then automatically by the weight of its juice, it will fall off. Is it not? Yeah, very interesting. So similarly, instead of focusing on, I don't want this, I don't want that, I should be detached, I don't want to touch money, I don't want, you know, whatever. I should be away from my wife, I should be away from my children, I should be away from my home. Ghar mein baith ke bhajan kisi ka nahi hota hai. We should go into the forest and we should try. So now what will happen? You will try. We will leave our home and we'll go into the forest. But still, since it is still unripe green mango, going into the forest, we'll still think about other things. But when it becomes ripened, the mango is juicy wherever you take it. This is the first example. Second example. Imagine a person having $1 million. If he has $1 million with him, you think he will bend down to pick a 10 rupee note and put it back into his pocket? He will not. But if someone does not have $1 million, then he will see a 10 rupee note. He will look to the left. He will look to the right. And then he will slide in and take and put it into the pocket. So if someone does not have bhakti, he is poverty stricken in his heart, then he gets attracted to the 10 rupee of this world in the form of material enjoyment. Material enjoyments in this world are like 10 rupee notes. And if someone does not have the higher taste, Prabhupada is drilling this point in text 41, purport, that we must have higher taste in spiritual life. Otherwise, renunciation is not possible. So if someone does not have the $1 million of pure bhakti, pure devotional service, pure devotional substance in our heart, then what will happen? He will get attracted to the 10 rupee, 20 rupee, 50 rupee notes of this world in the form of material enjoyment. Something to eat, something to enjoy, somewhere to go. These are all like temporary 10 rupee notes. So someone who doesn't have the wealth of bhakti gets attracted to them. But someone who has the wealth, $1 billion wealth bhakti, he doesn't slip down and pick a 10 rupee note because he's enjoying something way more higher. And this wealth is such a wealth, the wealth of bhakti, prem dhan, that cannot be stolen away. Nobody can steal it away. Nobody, absolutely nobody. Even death cannot steal it away. Therefore, when someone has shuchinam shrimatam gehe yogo bhrashta vijayate, if someone performs bhakti in his previous life, you see, next life, Krishna gives him chance to continue that devotional path. So we must collect wealth which cannot be stolen away with time. So the point is, the second example with renunciation is, if we don't have devotion, we'll be attracted to things of this world. And if we say, let's say if we don't have wealth, we get attracted to the 10 rupee, and then we fight in our mind, no, I should not touch the 10 rupee. We are fighting, but the taste for the 10 rupee is still there because we don't have wealth. We may fight it in the mind. Hey, I should not pick it up. No, I should not pick it up. I should not. Maybe I should. No, I should not. I should not. So he's trying to battle it in the mind. But the taste for that 10 rupees is still there. For that taste to go away, he must have more wealth than that 10 rupee. So if one collects devotion to Sri Hari, which is the highest wealth, then sthana bhilashi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kachan vichinvan api divyaratnam swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest aspiring for a palace bigger than his father, grandfather and great-grandfather. And when the Supreme Lord appeared before him, Dhruva Maharaj chants this. This is found in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Often quoted by Saraswati Thakur also. When Vishnu appeared, Dhruva Maharaj told him, "My Lord, why did I perform tapasya? Sthan abhilashi. Tapasi sthitoham. I was tapasi sthita, situated in tapasya because sthan abhilashi. I had desire for place. But now what happened? Tvam praptavan. I have got you. And who are you? Deva munindra guhyam. You are rarely achieved even for the demigods. Therefore, my Lord, kachan vichinvan api divya ratnam. I came into this forest looking for broken pieces of glass. And standing before me is a diamond. Therefore, my Lord, swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. I am completely satisfied. I don't desire anything else. I have got you. There is no higher wealth than that." Rupa Goswami calls Krishna Ujjwala Neelamani. Ujjwala means self-effulgent. And Neelamani means blue sapphire stone. Think about a self-effulgent blue sapphire stone. How beautiful it will be. And that is Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. So if we really want true wealth, we collect Sri Krishna in our heart. And when bhakti comes in the heart, asakti to Krishna creates virakti in this world. We should not think of detachment in this world. We should think of attachment to Krishna. And that automatically will take away all the anarthas. We say, oh, there is lust in my heart. There is anger in my heart. There is envy in my heart. Yes, the negativity is there because the light is not switched on. The darkness is there in the room because there is absence of light. So don't complain about the darkness. Just go and switch on the light and you will see the darkness is gone. So similarly, focusing on the positive takes away the negative. Don't have to worry discussing the negative. How do I become detached? Don't worry. Virakti or detachment means alternative attachment. Alternative attachment. So if there is attachment to Krishna, there will be detachment in this world. And if there is attachment in this world, there will be detachment from Krishna. So therefore, in text 39, Priyavrat Maharaj's connection with Krishna is shown as how a pure Vaishnava is Bhagavan. In text 40, connection with living beings in this world is shown, how they connect with everyone else and how they're always overflooding with Karuna or Kripa so that everybody is pacified. Sarve Sukhinah Santu, Sarve Santu Niramaya. Sarve Badrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Let everyone be peaceful and let nobody quarrel with each other so that bhakti can be performed. That's the heart of a pure Vaishnava with others. And how is his connection with objects of this world? Oh, he's very detached. Doesn't matter to him. He, Krishna may give him Shauni Patitvam Athava Ekam Akinchanatvam Nityam Dadasi Bahumanam Athapamanam Vaikunthavasam Athava Narake Nivasam Ha Vasudeva Mamanasti Gatistvadanya. He can be given life in Vaikuntha or he may be thrown into hell, but like Bali Maharaj in hell. But they are unaffected because they are constantly attached to Krishna. Narayana Parasarve Na Kutaschana Bibhyati Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitulyartha Darshanam. The sixth canto of Bhagavatam describes that you take someone who has love for Krishna, you keep him anywhere. Because that love cannot be taken away by time, place or circumstance. He's always blissful. External things may come or go, but he is completely shielded and isolated in his heart with affection for Krishna. So it's 8:30 local time. So we'll stop here. We had 1 hour of discussion. So if it is okay, we can take some reflections or questions or comments. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, August Srila Prabhupada. What a beautiful class, Prabhuji. Full of energy and such a nectarian class, Prabhuji. You have so much love for Krishna. That's why you are able to speak so nicely. And please bless me also so that I can have, you know, affection and love like you have. Well, my Jagannath deities, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Krishna, someone who's a business tycoon, he sees who's having what wealth, right? But someone who doesn't have wealth, he doesn't see kiske paas kitna paisa hai. Jinke paas paisa hota hai, unko paisa dikhta hai har jagah. Yahan invest karo to aise, wahan invest karo to aise. So because you're filled with so much affection for Jagannath, Mataji, you are able to see that affection. You are able to see that others are also having affection. That is a reflection of your actual affection for Krishna. Just like if someone has diabetes and because of which he is not taking sweets. If someone else is not taking sweets, he will look and say, I have diabetes. That's why he is not taking sweets. I think he is also diabetic. So if someone is not diabetic, he will not understand. So we must have it to see it outside. So I think, Mataji, it is the other way. You have to bless me as a mother blesses the child because you have affection for Jagannath. You are seeing that in everyone. So
Yeah. No, Prabhuji, really, I mean, I see you, I feel like motherly affection for you always.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. It's really stacked. Nice points you explained, Prabhuji. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead. Prabhuji will take a couple of questions. Prabhuji, one devotee is asking how to get the higher taste of devotion, Prabhu.
There are two things here. Bhumi skalita padanam bhumi reva valambanam nama jata aparadhanam tomeva sharanam prabho. Haridas Thakur in Harinam Chintamani is explaining that when we fall repeatedly on the floor, we learn to stand on the floor using the floor. Like when you slip down and fall on the floor, how will we learn to walk on that floor and stand on the floor? By using the floor. So similarly for us, we are fallen with so many aparads. We have nama aparad, dhamma aparad, seva aparad, and because of which we are fallen. Just like a person who's fallen on the ground should hold the ground to stand up on the ground. So similarly, someone who has committed offenses to the holy name must repeatedly chant the holy name so that he can stand and get taste in the holy name. So it is not that first taste will come and then we will be able to chant. No, first we have to chant and show Krishna our hard work. First, we have to be like Mother Yashoda, ready to run behind Krishna. Then Krishna will be bound. It is not that Krishna will, Damodar will come and tell Mother Yashoda, here I am, take your rope and bind me. Aisa nahi hota. It doesn't work like that. Swinnam vaktram. Drishtva parishramam Krishna kripaya asit svabandhane. First Krishna must see the parishram, the hard work. And then kripaya asit svabandhane. Then he comes under the control of the devotee. So for us to get higher taste, first we have to endeavor. We may not have taste, but we have to endeavor. And then by endeavoring, Krishna becomes happy. He showers his mercy. And then we will get the taste. It is like a child. Initially, the child, when he is doing homework in his school, he has no taste. But as he keeps doing it for a long number of years, and he keeps doing it for a considerable amount of time, then the mother says, get married, get a job. He will say, no, I have to do PhD. I want to do research. Mother will say, kitna padega? How much will you study? The same child in his childhood, he was not ready to study because he didn't have taste. But now, even when he's trying to, mother is saying, don't study, he wants to go because he has developed taste. And he has developed taste by doing it consistently every single day for a long period of time. Then he gets attached to that process. So therefore, we must perform bhakti. इवन रूप गोस्वामी से श्रद्धा साधु संग भजन क्रिय अनर्थ निवृत्ति देन निष्ठा देन रुचि. सो बिफोर रुचि कम्स द स्टेज ऑफ निष्ठा. सो फर्स्ट वी हैव टू बिकम फिक्स्ड इन द पाथ ऑफ भक्ति. वी हैव टू कीप डूइंग इट विद कंसिस्टेंसी एंड देन व्हेन कृष्णा गेट्स प्लीज्ड देन रुचि विल कम. रुचि डजंट कम बिफोर निष्ठा, निष्ठा कम्स बिफोर रुचि. सो फर्स्ट वी हैव टू बिकम फिक्स्ड अप देन टेस्ट विल कम. सो वी हैव टू परफॉर्म भक्ति. By performing bhakti, only taste will come. So we say, oh, I'm not able to chant more than 3 rounds, 4 rounds because I don't have taste. Well, that means we have to chant more. If someone has taste, naturally the holy name will, there'll be streams of nectar flowing through the tongue. As the person starts to chant, it's flooding. Harinam is just flowing like the Ganga. So for him, there's no problem. But someone who does not have taste, someone who does not have taste, he must put in the hard work. I don't have taste. I don't feel like chanting, oh Baba, therefore you must chant more. That means you have to chant more because taste has not developed. So this is what we have to tell ourselves. I must chant more. I must serve more. I must read more because I don't have taste. And it is parishram. It is effort for some time. But Krishna reciprocates very quickly. Like Narad Muni saw as a child, he saw darshan for a split second from the Supreme Lord. Similarly, we will also have bursts of that taste which will keep us going. And this is point number one. Point number two, bhakti stu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate. If coronavirus can be got by associating with someone who has it, why won't taste come by associating with someone who has it? If cough and cold can come by sneezing and we being next to someone, we can get that taste or that cough or cold, then why sitting next to someone who has genuine taste in bhakti, why won't we develop taste in bhakti? So therefore, bhaktistu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate. By associating with a great soul who has taste, we will get taste. Is that okay?
Yep. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Monica Mataji, please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, can I just ask something out of this context? Is it okay?
Okay.
Okay, the thing is that I just want to ask, why is Advaitacharya as a Vishnu Roop come to as a servant to Mahaprabhu, because he's also Vishnu and he's serving Krishna? Why is it like that?
Well, Advaita Acharya has two forms. He is Advaita and he is Acharya, which means Advaita means he is Mahavishnu, and Acharya means he is none different from Lord Shiva. So his identity is that of Vishnu. And his mood of devotion is that of Lord Shiva. So just like we know, for Krishna avatar, Brahmaji went and called. It was Brahmaji who went to Shweta Dweep and called the Supreme Lord that Bhumi Devi has come in the form of a cow. She is overburdened by the weight of the sinful activities of the sinful kings. So therefore, it was Brahmaji who called the Supreme Lord, and then he came as Krishna. So here, Shivji is going and calling as Advaita Acharya, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu Krishna is coming. So it is the same Lord who is playing in different features. Panchatattva eka vastu konu nahi bhed. Lila rasa aswadita vivida vibhed. Eka hi swarupa dohe bhinna matra kai. Adi kaya vyuha Krishna lila rasa hai. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, actually Krishna is only one. But that one becomes two as Radharani. But that two again becomes one as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then that one becomes five as Chaitanya Nityananda Advaita Srivas and Gadadhar. Only to propagate the holy name. So they are only playing with themselves. One is coming as a devotee and calling. The other is coming as the Lord. The third as Nitai is propagating. The fourth as Srivas is organizing the programs. And the fifth as Gadadhar is reading Bhagavatam and teaching. So they are doing different services. It is the same Supreme Lord with his own identity. There is nothing. Sarvam kalu idam gauram nena nasti kinchana. The impersonalist says, sarvam kalu idam brahma. the Gaudiya Vaishnavas say, Sarvam Khalu Idam Radha, Sarvam Khalu Idam Gaura, Nena Nasti Kinchana. Apart from that, there is no reality. So yes, they are non-different, but at the same time, he's coming in the mood of Lord Shiva to invite the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva
but he's
is always
also Mahavishnu.
Uh-huh.
But he's also Mahavishnu.
He's also Mahavishnu. His power potency is that of Mahavishnu, but his mood of devotion is that of Lord Shiva.
All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Aman Gupta Prabhu is asking, what is Swarupa Siddhi and how it is related? And what is Vasu Siddhi?
Please chant Hare Krishna. These things are not related to the topic.
Hare Krishna, Ravi Sharma Prabhuji, please unmute and you can go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandava Pranam Prabhuji. Once again, I am very blessed to listen. I have only one question because in many of your classes, you have said that even the demons in Srimad Bhagavatam, they teach us many things, what to do, what not to do, like Hiranyaksha and Kashyapu. But one thing, like Hiranyaksha ji and Hiranyakashipu and Shishupal ji and Dantavrakritis are all Jai Vijay ji came. But I cannot understand that why in the 10th canto, the fourth part of the 10th canto, Shukdev Goswami ji has addressed Duryodhan as Suyodhan two times. And Duryodhan, as if I know, he was not Jai Vijay or he was not taking the role of villain. So why Shukdev Goswami ji addressed Duryodhan as Suyodhan in the 10th canto?
Actually, all these names have a positive connotation and negative connotation. All of them. So the name Suyodhan, so basically let me put it like this. The name Duryodhan has two meanings. The birth name Duryodhan means, Dur means Duhu, which means the negative influence. And Yodhan means Yuddha, someone who fights. So someone who is supposed to or expected to fight the negative forces is called Duryodhan. But the negative connotation is he who fights with a negative intention is called Duryodhan. So positive meaning is he who fights the negative. The negative meaning is he who fights being the negative. With a negative mindset for a negative motive, he fights. So that is Duryodhan. Similarly, Dushasan, he is supposed to do Shasan to the demons. He's supposed to discipline and chastise the demons. But he himself chastises by becoming the demon. He has become the without discipline. Dushasan means he's indisciplined. So similarly, all the words in the Shastra, they have negative, positive and negative connotation. Even the word Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra. The negative connotation.
Sorry for interfering, Prabhuji. He has been described as Suyodhan two times.
Yes, I'm coming to that. So Dhritarashtra also means the negative connotation means he who's blind and he still holds on to his Rashtra. He is not ready to give up. He could have given it up very easily, thinking that he's blind. But although he's blind, he wants to Dhritarashtra. He wants to hold on to his kingdom. And the positive connotation of Dhritarashtra is a pure Vaishnava. He has held on to Vrindavan and he will never leave. So he's also Dhritarashtra. He has Dham Nishtha. He will never leave the Dham. Similarly, the word Yudhishthira, the positive meaning Yudhi Sthira, he who's constantly situated on a battlefield with Sthirata, with stability in consciousness. So in this way, the positive meaning of Duryodhan we mentioned is he who fights the negative. So this Duryodhan interpretation in the positive in Sanskrit also can be written as Suyodhan, because in Sanskrit when you have a prefix of ku or du, it gives a negative connotation, and the same thing when you replace it with su, it's a positive connotation. So instead of saying Duryodhan, there could be a misunderstanding that is he the one who's supposed to fight the demons, or is he the one who fights being the demon? But if that is the positive notation, the positive connotation is taken, and it is replaced with Suyodhan, there cannot be a negative connotation for Suyodhan. So this means pure Vaishnavas, they always see the positive. Even if someone is wicked, Krishna will punish them. But they're only seeing them as part and parcel of God. To see the dvandva, that this person is wicked and this person is good, this person is evil, this person is magnanimous, this is positive, this is negative, this is profitable, this is loss, this is favorable, this is unfavorable. This is the vision of someone who is disconnected from Krishna. And if someone is connected to Krishna, he will see everyone Krishnamayam. Sarvam Krishnamayam Jagat. He sees everyone in connection to Krishna, everything anukul, everything favorable, everything nice. He sees everyone as an instrument in the drama of Krishna. Let's say if there is a drama being played on the stage and someone becomes a hero, one becomes a villain. When they get off the stage, the audience will congratulate both and take autographs from both. Oh, you played your role well, you played your role well. So similarly, all these demons are also associates of the Lord who are playing roles in the stage of Mahabharata. So some are heroes and some are anti-heroes. Some teach us how to be, some teach us how not to be. But ultimately, both are parts of the same part and parcel of Krishna. So therefore, even Duryodhan is referred to as Suyodhan, as someone who works or fights very nicely. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Shyamapriya Mataji, you can unmute and you can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, you were saying about bhakti, it should be free of material desire. What about spiritual desires like Shunya Abhilasha we have heard? So then if we have spiritual desires, would we still get liberation, or we have to come back and take birth and come back?
Nahi kaschit kshanam vapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. Bhagavad Gita says nobody at any time can be free from an activity or a thought. There is nobody who can be free from thoughts or activities at any time. Nahi kaschit kshanam vapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. Ek kshan aisa nahi ho sakta jahan aap kuch sochi nahi rahe, ya koi kaam nahi kar rahe, ya koi ichha na ho. It's not possible to not have a desire. It's not possible to not work. It's not possible to not have an ambition. Point number one. Second thing, karanena vina karyam na kadachana vidyate. That without an intention, without a desire, nobody acts. So two points are made. Point number one, nobody can be without acting. Point number two, no activity is performed without a desire. Everything has a desire behind it. So first is nahi kaschit kshanam vapi jatu tishtate karma krit. Without a break, we are all constantly working through mind, through words, through activities. And second, karanena vina karyam na kadachana vidyate. Without a desire, we have no impetus to work, which means at every point, all of us are having desires. There will never be a point where we will be desireless, because we are sentient beings, we are spiritual beings. So to have spiritual desires to such an extent that it kicks away all the material desires, that is perfection of spiritual life. Imagine if the bubble of our spiritual desire in the heart gets so big, the balloon of our spiritual desire becomes so big that there is no other place for any other desire. So they're kicked out. When will the material desires be kicked out? When the spiritual desire becomes so big that there is no place for a material desire. So we must have spiritual desires. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kiyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra laulyam api mulyam ekaram koti janma sukritirna labhyate. Ramananda Rai has said the only price to pay to get Krishna is very deep desire to get him. If someone wants Krishna, Krishna will go to him. So that's a spiritual desire. Mother Yashoda wants Krishna to come home early and come safe. Mother Yashoda wants Krishna, desires that Krishna should be well fed and he should be healthy. So these are spiritual desires even in the spiritual world. If we have material desires, we will attain the material world. If we have spiritual desires, we'll attain the spiritual world. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, I have a question. Our Gaudiya understanding is that even if we remember God by hating like Hiranyakashipu and other demons, they can get liberated. But my question is, I think Madhvacharya in his Bhashya song, he wrote that if one thinks of Lord in who hostels God, he go to Andha Tamas, he can never be liberated.
Yes, both of these are true. The example given is Shishupal and Veena. If one hates the Supreme Lord to such an extent that one never remembers him, then one will go to hell. That I hate Krishna so much that I don't even want to think of him, then one will go to hell. But if one hates Krishna to such an extent that I can stop thinking of him, then that person will get liberated. It is not hating which liberates the person. It is smaranam which liberates the person. So, kama, dveshat, bhayat, krodat, yatha, bhakti, shware, manaha. The Bhagavatam describes whether with affection or with hatred or with love, with friendship, whatever, with bhaya, whatever may be the impetus, the main result should be constant thinking. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Tasya aham sulaha partha. For someone who has constant remembrance, I am easy to be obtained. So when someone constantly remembers Krishna, then that purifies the consciousness of all the envy in the heart. That remembrance. But when someone envies Krishna to such an extent that doesn't think of him, then the envy is there, but there is no purifying agent. So this person goes to hell.
Okay? Guruji, one more question. Can I ask one more question?
I think there are other hands. So just in the interest of time,
okay, we'll switch
to them.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, Prabhuji. I want to ask, thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. I wanted to ask, If bhajan kriya is dependent on our circumstances?
Oh, the question is it dependent on the circumstances?
Yeah.
Well, in the book called Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, there are two stages of bhajan. One is called anishtita bhajan kriya, one is called nishtita bhajan kriya. Anishtita bhajan kriya is when bhajan is unsteady. And that moves up and down according to circumstances. And then when the stage of Nishtita Bhajan Kriya comes, the bhajan is very steady. Just like we are in America or we are in India, our name and our identity remains the same. It is independent of the circumstance. So similarly, when the bhajan becomes Nishtita, circumstances don't matter. But when it is Anishtita, it is unsteady, then it will depend. Sometimes it is high and sometimes it is low. So that depends on which stage of bhajan kriya one is at, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 50. Says Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King, for every created being, the dearmost thing is certainly his own self. The dearness of everything else, children, wealth, and so on, is due only to the dearness of the self. Does this apply to Pandavas and us? And can you throw some light on it, Prabhuji?
So, well, everyone has affection for themselves because of their affection for Krishna. So we love our body because we love our soul, and we love ourselves as the soul because we love Krishna. And because we are parts of Krishna, we love ourselves. But the primary understanding is affection for Krishna, selfless love for Krishna. So much so that we have no time to think about ourselves. We don't even realize that we exist. So much affection and love for Krishna. And then when we realize that I belong to that Krishna, oh, I am dear to myself. So the primary point is affection for Krishna. Selfless, unlimited, unending, eternal, everlasting, spontaneous love for Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And then, oh, I belong. Mama eva amshah. Krishna says, you belong to me. No, you belong only to me. That possessiveness, really, Krishna? Oh, I love myself because I belong to you and I have affection for you. So that is the primary thing. That's the only thing. That mamata for Radha and Krishna is the only thing. That is the only reason why we are living. That is the only reason why we are breathing. And then, of course, it extends further that we love our body because the soul gets a residence through this body. And then we have further extended that we love our wife and our children because they come from that body. You know, the children come from that body, etc. But the primary root, just like there's a sarva karana karanam, there's a cause behind a cause behind a cause behind a cause. So we have affection for others because they're connected to our body. And we have affection for our body because it's the residence for the soul. And we have affection for the soul because we have affection for Krishna. So, Govind Shyam Prabhu comes on the call to bless me. He's been such a senior, high-class counselor and mentor for the whole community of Atlanta. Such a sweet Kripa Patra. Recipient of mercy of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Prabhu is just he's asking just to bless me.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu, you posted some question in the chat. Do you want to go ahead and ask Prabhuji? Go ahead, Prabhuji.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for explaining the three verses. Prabhu, I have one question, Prabhu. One question is very basic. Like in this verse 41, it says, right, Prabhu, Karma Yoga word comes. And we know Karma Yoga, when this it comes together, it is work in Krishna consciousness, right? Here, it is exactly opposite.
So it depends on who's performing and in what intention. So fruitive activities refer to Mishra performances. Like when, for example, there are two kinds of personalities. One is someone who uses his gun and shoots around on the street. This person gets a death sentence. Another person, as the soldier, he shoots the same thing on the battlefield and he gets Paramvir Chakra. So the activity is shooting in both places, but the intention is different. In first case, he is shooting for himself out of envy. In the second case, he's shooting on behalf of the government as a soldier. So this is not allowed, but this is allowed. So in this case, Karma Yoga refers to the fruitive activity, which is done with material desires. Just like in Sanskrit, different words can be used contextually in different places. Like the word Atma can be referring to the, I personally heard from Srila Prabhupada in a class. Personally, I heard in a class from Srila Prabhupada at this point. Srila Prabhupada said the word Atma refers to the soul, but it can also refer to the mind. It can also refer to the body. So like this, the sun is called Atmaj. Ja means Janma. And Atma means body in this regard. So he who is so dear to me because he has appeared from the body. So therefore, similarly, contextually, here, Karma Yoga, I will pull up the words again. This is 5141. Yes. So here, if you see, Karma Yoga Jam. Jam means Janma. That activity is reactions which have appeared because of reactions and activities and involvement in this material plane is called Karma Yoga Cham here. Here it doesn't refer to acting in Krishna consciousness or bhakti. It refers to acting with material desires. And that causes a network of entanglement. So contextually, different words have different connotations, and therefore acharyas are needed to give us the context. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Do you have some time, Prabhu, for...
It is 9 o'clock, Mataji, so maybe we can pause here because I have some other service also coming up very soon.
Yes, sure, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your enlightening class today, Prabhu. We are very grateful to you, and we look forward for your session again and again, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We'll end the class here, paying obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpada Rupyasha Krupa Sindhu Evacha Pratitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Grantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His case Amrendra Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much.
Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Anantha Koti Gaur Bhakta Bindu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhupada.